Welcome to GoPro, How to Become a Network Marketing Professional by Eric Ward. You are now listening to CD2, which is titled Success Concepts.
All right, now that I've given you my story and maybe some of the early lessons learned, what I want to spend some time on now is I want to give you some success concepts, some things that will help you, that are vital for you to be able to get your mind in the right place in order to be able to achieve the success that you're looking for. The first thing is understanding why network marketing is a better way. Some people are involved in network marketing and still don't really totally have that into their DNA, why it's a better way than what everybody else has out there. What people don't realize, we are living in a new economy. This isn't a down economy, it's a new economy. This isn't a recession or a depression, it's a new economy. And the changes that have happened are fundamental and in most cases permanent. I'm going to let that sink in. You think the job market's coming back? Not the one that you recognize. Think that the skills you went to school with or for are going to serve you in this rapidly changing landscape? Maybe, but not in the way that you think that they're going to serve you. There's basically four ways that people earn in this world. One is blue-collar work, quote-unquote blue-collar work, making things, doing things, fixing things, blue-collar work. And crazy enough, doctors would be blue-collar work. Dentists would be blue-collar work. They're fixing things, doing things. And there's a certain amount of satisfaction. It's not just people digging ditches. But the physical things, there's a certain amount of satisfaction in blue-collar work, doing something, making something look nicer than what it did. How many people in this room have ever done blue-collar work? There's a certain amount of satisfaction there. But can you get wealthy there? It's very difficult to get wealthy. Does your body tire there? Yeah. Is it sometimes dangerous there? There's a lot of danger. So most people have had some level of blue-collar work. Nothing wrong with that. But to create wealth, which is what we're here to talk about, can you get there with that? The answer is very, very challenging. Second is corporate work, working for someone else. How many people have ever worked for someone else? You know what that's like. Corporate work, this is the biggest landscape change in the history of the world that's happened in the last 3 years. And I will predict in the next 5 years, you'll see the biggest change of all of our lifetimes. What my friend Randy Gage says, safe is the new risky. What everybody thinks is safe is the new risky. It's the most frightening place to be is working for someone else today. Let me tell you, first of all, what's happening in the workplace. And I have been all over the world, literally. Most countries of the world I've visited and visited in the last 2 years. And I will tell you what I see worldwide is the same thing that's happening here in the United States and North America. Step number one is layoffs. This implied contract between employer and employee, if you're loyal, if you put your head down, if you'll just do your job, we'll trade that for job security. I talked with my friend Les Brown last week, and he said, there's no such thing as job security. Not anymore. Maybe your parents had it where they were. Maybe your parents' parents had it. Maybe they didn't. They had it for a little longer than is even offered today. But the layoffs in the United States alone, currently, as this program is being recorded, real unemployment is approximately 20%. Unemployment on the unemployment rolls is about 10%. But there's people who have lost their benefits and moved in with their family. There's people who are underemployed. They're part-time, not by choice. And they don't have benefits and they need to be full-time, but they're not. So they're taking the part-time job. And people who are, I mean, if you're 55 today looking for a job in this economy, wow. What a miserable place to be. Put your whole life into somebody else, build somebody else's dream, and then when you turn around, now you have experience, they say we don't care about the experience because you want to get too much money. 1 out of 5, ladies and gentlemen. And you think that's about to change? Most of the jobs that were eliminated in the last 2 years were permanently eliminated. Most of them. Technology, outsourcing, part-time work. And the other big thing, how many of you have worked inside a company? How many, when you worked there were people literally hiding inside that company? That's 10% of most companies have hiders. Not only hiding, but distracting other people from their work. And corporations have just had meetings about this and said, find the hiders. And let's make them extinct inside of our organization. So the companies that used to have 100 people, they said, let's see how we do with 80. Let's call it a temporary layoff and see how we do to 60. And they're still having meetings right now about you, saying, can we do without them? Is there any way? So layoffs, in my opinion, are going to be a recurring phenomenon in our service-oriented world. They're going to find ways to do it with less and less and less. And because of the cost of health care, they're going to take people from full-time to part-time. So that's phenomenon number one. Phenomenon number two inside the workplace is asking you to work harder for less money. Income reductions, voluntary income reductions. You used to get paid $50,000. They say, you know, look, we love you to keep your job. We think you're great here, but we need you to do it for $45,000. Now, if you don't agree, we understand, but there's a long line of people outside the door that's willing to do it, and we'd rather have you than them, but you know, I was told by the guys upstairs, if I don't do this, then it's me. So, income reduction, and the second part of it is the biggest phenomenon, asking you to work harder for the same money. Instead of 40 hours, we need you 45, we need you 50, we need you 55. Oh, how about overtime? What do you mean overtime? This is survival time. You get to stay if you come longer. True or not true?
True.
Everywhere. The biggest phenomenon that's just starting to happen is number three, which is the entire world shifting to a performance-based economy at every level inside of every company. They won't pay you by the week anymore or by the month or by the year. They're going to pay you. If you used to get $50,000 a year, they're going to take you to $12,000 a year and let you earn back the other $38,000 if you hit performance benchmarks on a weekly or monthly basis. And if you don't, you don't get the $50,000 back again. But you say, yeah, you're going to get your $50,000 if you hit these milestones for 12 consecutive months. We're going to pay you $3,000 a month for each month that you hit the milestones. But if you miss one, that $3,000 is gone. If you miss two, the $3,000, the $6,000 is gone. So you got to hit the benchmarks. Now, anybody who's worked in a sales environment where you've had performance-based pay, how many people in here have had performance-based pay? What happens when you hit your numbers? The next year. They raise the numbers. Which, what did they basically force you to do? Work harder for the same money again. And what if you're a rock star and you perform 2 years in a row? Raise it again. Get used to it, ladies and gentlemen. The people in this facility right here that are cleaning the rooms are very closely, if they're not already there, going to get paid by the room, not by the hour. It's not just people serving you your food in your restaurants. Everybody's going to be on a unit-based, performance-based, the entire world. Managers will be paid performance-based based upon the people that serve them. It's going everywhere. Everywhere. Worldwide. So if you're going to be in performance-based anyway, why would you go into that system versus this system? That system, which is progressively going to put the screws to you if you decide to perform. Put the screws to you. Versus the one that celebrates you the more you perform and takes the limits off the more you perform and appreciates you more than you perform. And all you've got to do is you've got to drop this thing that my friend Les Brown calls learned helplessness. Our entire society has been trained and learned a pattern of helplessness. In other words, we have this need from birth to be told what to do, where to go, what to say, how to perform, what skill to learn. Okay, tell me to do it. You've got to be able to shift away from that when somebody comes to you and says, red pill, blue pill. Learned helplessness or freedom. You're going to have... You say, well, no, if I come in network marketing, I only get paid on what I perform. Yeah. And tell me about your current situation right now. Seems to me it's the same and worse. This is pure without the politics. If you want to stay inside of a corporate model, you have one of two choices. Choice number one is to perform, is to achieve, is to be all you can be. And what has to happen the moment you'd make that decision? What do you have to become good at in order to be able to do that? The moment you do that, what happens? You become a target inside of that organization. The moment you decide to perform, you become a target. The person above you becomes threatened that you're coming after them. The person alongside you that are looking for the same promotion become threatened and they start shooting at you. The person below you start grabbing you by the ankles to hold you down, telling, whispering things about you at the water cooler every time you're out there trying to perform, right? So, if you have to perform, what goes with performance inside of a corporate structure? Politics. How many people love politics? Not a sign in the room. How many people would like to just walk away from politics and let performance handle everything? Wouldn't that be great? Well, then you can't work inside a company. You ignore politics inside of a company and you'll become a statistic. You will not get the raise. You get your butt kicked out regardless of performance because you cannot outdo the politics of what people will do to you. So inside of a company, you have choice number one is to perform. Choice number two, hide. Hide. H-I-D-E, hide. Put your head down. Don't speak up in meetings. Don't offer your opinion until you validate what somebody else said and only if they have power. Put your work in. Show up on time. Don't raise any eyebrows. Don't let your name show up in any meetings. Don't be remarkable. Get through it. Get your pay. Go home. Wait for your 2 weeks vacation. That's your other choice. Have you ever seen the average cubicle? I like watching documentary television from time to time. It's interesting. If you take a look at the cubicle, what does the cubicle have? It has a workspace. It has a chair. Usually has a plant to warm it up. It has a couple toys, knickknacks, you know, a little bobblehead, something to let people know that you're fun. It has some photos of family. This is why I'm doing this. This is why I'm doing this. This is why I'm doing this. Then if you ever see, like on the Discovery Channel, when they do a jail cell, what does a typical jail cell have? Has a workspace, has a chair, has some plants, has some photos. And you think the bars are any different than the bars of the cubicle? Try and walk out when you're not supposed to. Do that more often than you're supposed to and watch what happens. It's like Club Fed is what it is. I mean, yeah, you can walk around a little bit, but you got to stay within some lines. And if you go outside of those lines, you take breaks when other people don't take breaks, and they're going to start talking about you, and you don't want your name showing up in that boardroom. Put you on the chopping block. You go to lunch when we say. Heck with you, I'm going when I feel like it. Well, heck with you, you're not working here no longer. True or not true? Safe is the new risky. Scariest place to put your future is in somebody else's hands. In today's performance-based economy? Why? The only reason why is because of learned helplessness. You've been told by your parents and your friends and everybody else, get a job, get your benefits, get your 401k. How's that doing for you? Not so great. We've got the greatest story in the history of the world, and yet people in this room and people inside of our profession apologize for it on a regular basis. Yeah, this is something you could do on the side of your real job. What? Hello? You've got to step into a different posture. We are rescue people. You know what I do every day? I rescue people from desperate lives. Whether or not they're willing to admit it to me in the first conversation. We've been taught that's dangerous. Admit your weakness is dangerous in the corporate world. So when you talk to somebody, do you think they're going to admit, yeah, I hate my job and I want out of it so bad I can't stand it? No, they'll think that'll get back to their boss. They're not going to say that. They're going to say, yeah, everything's going okay. Yeah, it's going all right. But you're going to have to develop a relationship for the wall to eventually fall down, and it will. I'm a high performer, and I'm tired. I'm a solid corporate worker, and I'm scared. I'm not on the list today, but I could be tomorrow. I don't know. I'm a small business owner, and I'm freaking out with this economy and all the stuff that gets put on my head every single minute. I need somebody else to do the heavy lifting. Please let somebody else do the heavy lifting and let me bring some leadership and passion. Please let that show up. And then you knock on their door and you give them a phone call. They don't know that you have the answer. You have to get through a few layers first. And we're going to talk about that. But I want you to be solid that we do have the answer. We do have the better way. You have to be reminded with that every moment of every day for a while until it becomes a muscle. Not just a service. It's not just a way to make a few extra dollars. It's freedom. This is an escape plan. Third way people make money in today's world is in sales. High-end sales. How many people in this room have made a living in sales? Okay, salespeople. Here's the challenge with salespeople. Two challenges. One is, they're a wild bunch. And they're not responsible, typically. So they go out and they have one amazing month. They sell an unbelievable amount of cars or real estate or this or that. And they just, you know, they have a huge month. And you know what they do with that month? They set their lifestyle right at that number. They buy the house that matches that number. They buy the cars that match that number. They put the kids in the schools that match that number. And now, are they free or are they slaves? They have to go back. And what if the economy goes down? Ugh, work harder. What if they're in real estate? They've had to make some big choices in the last 5 years, real estate profession, some of the sharpest people in the world.
Mortgages. What mortgages? Oh, we can do reverse mortgages. Okay, well, that'll last a little while. Let's figure out how to get all this stuff back that we threw out there. All right, that'll last for a little while. Not going to last for that long. But salespeople, again, if you're going to be performance-based, would you rather get paid one time, or would you rather get paid, work hard for 1 year and get paid for 10? How'd you like to still be getting paid on the best year that you ever had? That'd be pretty good, right? So many salespeople today in this world, everywhere in the world, looking for a way to take their passion and plug it into a system that will continue to pay them. Because you know what? Most salespeople that I know, they're tired too. They're tired of being unemployed every morning, having to do it again. They're ready for something that they can plug into and really believe in. They got to believe that this is real and it's not just a deal. It's not just a project. It's a real escape hatch. Last area is traditional business ownership. Traditional business ownership. How many people in here have owned your traditional business, non-network marketing business? You all know what that's like. The leases and the overhead and dealing with the economy and employees and obligations and government issues, expense, investment. Quickly, show of hands again that have done that. What was your investment approximately to start your business, if you don't mind me asking? A couple hundred thousand? Half a million? Yes? 5 million? 150? 40? 10,000? Anybody else? 80,000? Yours, miss? 150? 100? 10,000? 25,000? All right, you get some ideas, yeah? Is that all it takes, and then after that you don't have to spend any more money? Oh, that's just the price of entry? That's for the right to spend more money? How many most people in small business would like a return of their investment, not on their investment. Please just let me get it back. Please just let me get it back. I'd be thrilled if I could just get it back, right? That's the price of entry. And then you know what? You took the thing that you were good at and you don't get to do it anymore. Because you have to be an accountant and a lawyer and a bookkeeper and an employer of people and your marketing of your business and all the stuff. Let's say you love making cookies. You don't get to make any cookies anymore. Everybody else does that while you try and do something that you have no skill set doing. And because you have no skill set doing it, very few businesses survive. But what if you had a business where all the heavy lifting was done for you? Do you realize what we have, ladies and gentlemen? The infrastructure's done. The rules and regulations are done. The investments are done. The millions have been paid by somebody else. And you are, in essence, the owner of that infrastructure without having to spend a penny into it. Do you realize that? Most don't. Well, yeah, the company, they're supposed to provide that. No. You know what a franchise will charge you for the access to infrastructure? They'll keep you broke forever. How many people have had a franchise in this room? One. What kind of franchise was it?
Restaurant.
How'd you do?
I'd rather not say.
Okay. I will tell you, if you want to own a Subway shop, spend $500,000 and you might earn $40,000 if you work there. What if I own 10 of them? Well, then you got 10 times the problem. And we have infrastructure where you can expand not only outside. And how many people have a business before? Show of hands again. Show me your hands. How many had one in more than one city? How many had one in more than one state? One, two. How many had one in more than one country? None. In this business, you can have more than one outside of your own city with no new infrastructure. What would it have taken to start a new business, a branch of the business that you started in another country? It's called bankruptcy. It's basically how you describe it, yeah? Here you have an opportunity to build around the world. We have 17 different countries represented in this room. Some of you are, you know, two or three countries. Some of you are domestic. Some of you have different things, lots of different opportunities. But I will tell you, the principle is the same. Your ability to leverage a system that's already in place, and you just bring your passion, but you're going to have to learn some new stuff. Bring your passion, bring your fire, bring your coachability, bring your leadership. You know what we do at the end of the day? We build a network. That needs to be everything that your focus is on. It's not about recruiting. It's not about selling. It's building a network. And the network will make a place for everything that you want to do. I'm going to teach you today how to do all that stuff. That's what gets me fired up. Because leaving today, you got it. Yeah? So, I get fired up. Because there is no better way. I don't care what you say. Now, if you're an artist, and you're right now an artist, and that's your profession, and you love being an artist, you know what network marketing will let you do? Be an artist. On your time. If you're a teacher and you love being a teacher, and I'm not saying, you know, I know that they don't pay you what you're worth as an educator, but if you love being an educator, be an educator. And let network marketing allow you to do it on your terms without the stress. See what I mean? So I'm not saying that this has to be your absolute end-all, be-all passion. It's a resource and it's a tool to be able to help you do whatever it is you want to do. You want to start 100 orphanages around the world? This can be a tool to help you do it. You want to put your kids through college? You want to leave a legacy, a foundation? So everybody in your family is taken care of when they hit hard times 100 years from today? This can be a legacy to help you do it, you know? So, we have a better way, number one, for all those reasons I just described. Second, there's different ways that you can approach this. There's three different ways. Posers, amateurs, and professionals. Posers, amateurs, and professionals. Posers come in hoping for something for nothing. Posers come in basically buying a lottery ticket. Posers come in and say, I hope I get lucky. Posers come in. You know when posers, and I will tell you, most of us start as posers. And then we shift. Because I'll tell you, the moment most of you joined this profession, what happened in your head? Want me to show you exactly what happened? Here's what happened. In your head. I can think of 3, 4, 5, 6 people that might do this too. If I can sign my brother, he'd crush this. My best friend, they'd be amazing. Oh, there's that other person I know if they rip this thing up, oh my gosh. Okay, so where's the paperwork? Sign me up. Give me the paperwork. I'm ready to go. Once that list becomes exciting enough in their head, then they go, okay, sign me up. And what are they saying when they're saying sign me up? Please teach me a new profession. Are they saying that? No! They're saying, if I can hurry up and get these other couple people in, maybe I can kick back and make a bunch of money. 95% of the people who join our profession, we got to change that percentage, how we represent ourselves and how we're presenting our opportunities, something for nothing, free money, all that garbage, all of us. You've fallen into that from time to time. Earlier this morning, maybe, you talked to somebody. You got to resist that because it's not true, number one. People don't believe it, number two. It creates a bad reputation, number three. And our hope is that we can take those posers, because those posers go out, they talk to those few people. The people go, boo. They say no. And because they said no, they bought the story and they say, well, this network marketing clearly doesn't work. I'm out of here. Thanks a lot for bringing me into this. And then when somebody says, well, hey, have you heard about network marketing? Oh, I know everything about it. I've tried. I know everything there is to know. Translation, they joined something. They got a few products. They talked to four people. The people went, boo. That's their entire network marketing career. For 90% who think they know what it is that we do, they have no clue what it is that we do. Posers, group number one, biggest group. Second group are the amateurs, saying, you know what? I realize I have to get past being lucky and I've got to work on some skills. Now, the amateurs are exactly that. They want to become professionals. They're in training to become network marketing professionals. They're learning some skills. They're, you know, instead of a mental list, they make a written list. Instead of mental goals, they write down their goals. Instead of other people going to events, they come to events. Instead of just coming to the events, they're at the events taking notes. You know, they're in an apprentice program. And then there's the network marketing professionals, these people that don't never have to get lucky. You can drop them out of a parachute anywhere in the world, and they'd very quickly have another network growing in that market of the world. No problem. Piece of cake. This is what we do. And my biggest hope, the reason why I was doing Network Marketing Pro in the first place, is it's up to us to rebrand the profession worldwide. When more network marketing professionals arrive, more well-trained amateurs are on the scene, and the posers start to diminish, and people realize that this is for real, you're going to see a wave of people coming into network marketing like you've never seen. I believe the next 10 years is the golden time of network marketing around the world, because the rest of the marketplace, the rest of the workplace is broken. We're the only safe haven that exists in the tsunami that's wiping out the workplace in every single sector of the world. Yeah? All right. Hold on. Bear with me. I'm never, ever going to get done in 8 hours. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. But I'll go as long as you guys are willing to go. Fair enough. I have some things I got to cover. I've got some things I got to cover before we get into the next session, okay? After 2 hours, I'm only an hour behind, which is the good news. Okay, can I put this here? Do you mind? Things I'm going to very quickly cover. Some of the success concepts that I'm going to cover. In addition, for you getting your head solid on what network marketing is, what it can provide for you, what it means to you. Things I want you to understand with this. Three elements to the network marketing, your network marketing profession. There are the products or services. There's the financial opportunity. And then there's you. What that says, the bottom two are constants. They never change. But when they change, everybody has the same opportunity. So if somebody's succeeding selling your product or service and you're not, it's not the product or service's fault. If someone's succeeding and making more money than you in your profession and you're not making as much as them, it's not the financial opportunity's fault. Do you have one compensation plan in your company for men and one for women? No? One for African American, one for Caucasian? No? One for people in South America and one for people in North America. Is that different? No. Now, is that true in the real world? In the real world, it's different. I'm telling you. If you're over 60, your opportunities are different than if you're 30. If you have a college education, your opportunities are different. If you grew up in the right family, your opportunities are different. All these different things that make the world unfair, network marketing makes fair. So, You're the only variable. You're the only thing that makes a difference. So if somebody's doing it, find out what they're doing and do it. If they're not doing it, well, then you got to examine what it is that you want. I mean, there should be somebody inside of your opportunity today that is making what you want to make as far as income, is living the lifestyle that you want to live. Find out what they're doing and just say, once you meet most of these people, you realize they're not that sharp. They're not. They're just people. You know, you can respect them. You can edify them as what you should in your culture, but you don't need to think that they're so much better than you. If they can do it, you can do it. So the big lesson here is take charge. Take charge. Blame or responsibility, that's a choice. Blame or responsibility. What I want you to do is take responsibility. It's my business. What I like to say goodbye to your upline. What I'd like all of you to do after today is I'd like you to call your upline. Or if they're in the room, turn to them. Hold on. And I would like you to say to them, thank you for the opportunity. You don't need to do it this second. Hold on. We can do it at the break. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it. Me getting into business for myself was important. Thank you for introducing me to a company that you believe in and that I believe in, with products and services that we believe in. But I'll tell you, when it comes to building, from now on, I will use you as a resource and never as an excuse. I will use you as a tool, but never as a reason for me to succeed. You're there. From time to time, I may call on you. If you're not available, that's okay. But I'm going to build my business from here. It starts from me. They become a resource and only a resource. So many people have knocked themselves out of network marketing because my upline didn't say this and my upline didn't do that. You have a good upline. Yours is great. Mine sucks. Blah, 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 blah. And you know what's been strange to me? Since my second year in the profession, my upline became invisible. In my mind, since my second year in the profession, I was sponsored by the company. In my mind, I was personally recruited by the company. And then I have other resources I could tap into as other people, but I don't need it. You know, the resource might be the system that your team promotes. That's a resource. It's not an excuse. It's not a limiting belief. It's a resource. You understand? I'm talking about growing up in the profession. I'm talking about going from amateur to professional. It's a mindset of saying, I got this. And when hard times come, it's on me. I'm going to resist the blame virus completely. And even if someone treats me badly, if they disrespect me, if they hurt me, it's still my business. I'm going to move forward. I'm not going to let that be an excuse. Even if they're in your downline, upline, anything else, be the leader and go. This is the biggest defining moment for most network marketing professionals, is the moment that they take charge and they're not part of someone else's dream and they become a builder of dreams. Take charge. Next is your comfort zone. You're going to have to get uncomfortable. If you want to get where you want to go, that's why they call it growing pains. Understand this. And once you get this solid, guys, it gets easy. Here's the thing. Once you accept and take pride in the fact that you are going against the grain, when you take pride in the fact that you're not a follower, you are a leader. When you take pride in the fact that 95% of the world disagree with
what they think it is that we do. And you take pride in the fact that you're on the right side of that equation. You're not embarrassed by it. You're not worn down by the fact, gosh, why don't people see this? Why don't they understand? I talked to them, they said, no. Right? You don't want everyone to say yes, because if everybody said yes, there'd be no money here for the professionals. They'd take it all. If it was the easiest in the world, the company would send out the information via the internet. It would get to everybody. They'd all sign up. They'd pay no money to you. You know why you can get paid $1 million a year here? Because it's hard. Because we're in the business of getting people who used to buy into this learned helplessness mindset and getting them to a take charge mindset. That's what we do for a living. Every day is we help people that used to be blind, we help them see. And they're going to say, no, 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 I'm not blind, I'm not blind, I'm not blind, I'm not blind, you're stupid, I'm not blind, you're stupid. You can either get upset with that or just with patience, slowly, slowly get them to see. Just a little glimpse. And then they go, oh. And then as soon as they come in, they're going, why don't these other people see? I don't understand. This is hard. It's hard. They said, no, I don't get it. They say they're too busy. Right? That's when a leader shows up and says, no, 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 here's where they are. Got to slowly help them. We walk around every day, red pill, blue pill. The first conversation with Neo, he was not interested. Second conversation in the bar, he was not interested. What was it, the fourth or fifth conversation before we finally got to red pill, blue pill? He was like, la, 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 la. They sent him a message, and then they sent him a cell phone, cool cell phone, popped right out. Right? And then they tapped on his shoulder in the bar, and then they did all this stuff. And then he finally said, okay, you're ready. Red pill, blue pill. Took off the glasses, and he saw the world for what it was. And there are some people, that movie is such a great lesson for all of us, but there's some people that even when they take the glasses off, they go, it's too ugly. I want the steak back. I don't want to remember nothing. And I want to be rich, and I want to be famous. You're building your dream. This comfort zone, the biggest thing, 95% of the people are going the other way. You're going with a group completely opposite. Our job, reason why it's hard, you don't want it easy. If it's easy, you're not going to get paid any money. If it's hard, you get paid. Once you accept that, all right, fine, I got this. I'm not wishing it for it to be easy any longer. I'm going to wish that I get more powerful so people can more quickly take off their blind eyes and see. Reasons drive everything. Reasons drive everything. Three questions. What do you want from your network marketing career? Two, what are you willing to give up? And three, who are you willing to associate with during the process? Who are you willing to spend time with during the process? What do you want? What are you willing to give up to in order to get it? And who are you willing to associate with, spend time with in the process? Reasons drive everything. I don't know what your reasons are. But they need to be powerful. They need to be emotional. I talked about this. We did a webinar over the holiday season. We talked about going through the reasons. It might be to prove something to somebody else. It might be to take charge of your life. It might be to get out from having somebody have their foot on your neck all the time. It might be from people who said that you couldn't do it. It might be because you have unfinished business in this life, and this life that you're living right now is not the life that you designed for yourself. It might be you've had successes in the past and you don't want, as you move forward, what you do want is you want to be climbing a new mountain, not sliding down an old one. You're not going to let that one success or those successes be the last big achievement. You're going to replay that hit for the rest of your life, or you're going to find a new mountain and go. See what I mean? I don't know what your reasons are, but you've got to find them. Because when you're 5 out of 95, when you're 1 out of 20, and the rest of the world sees a completely different world than you see, when you walk out of this room, you see a different world. They see one world, you see a different world. Without strong reasons, they're going to convince you by whispering in your ear every day, maybe you're wrong, maybe you're wrong, maybe you're wrong, maybe you're wrong. How much you making? Maybe you're wrong. When was your last sale? Maybe you're wrong. I heard this person didn't make it. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe you're wrong. And if you get that 19 times out of 20 without the strong reasons, you will believe them. And you'll say, I don't want to remember nothing. I just want this steak again. Put the blinders back on, please, so I can go back to the world and fit in. Let me live in this world. I'd rather live in this illusion than this reality. You'll buy the story. Reasons. You've got to spend some serious soul searching in order for you to be able to say, what are the reasons for me to make 6 figures a year? What are the reasons for me to make 7 figures a year? What are the why am I doing this? Because it can't just be about the money. Got to be about something more important than that, because it won't hold you. If it's just about the money, 1 out of 20, 19, take 2 rows of this, and 19 of them are whispering in your ear one thing, one person's whispering in the other thing. Who's going to win over the course of a weekend? They're going to win without strong reasons. So, the last question, I'm actually going to talk about this in the next session, at the beginning of the next session, because we're out of time with this one. But who are you willing to associate with? Laws of association. We're going to talk about personal development later. Those are the things that give you the strength in order to be able to take your posture to another level. Take your strength to another level where you become that one. And not only you know it, but everybody else knows it. Okay? So let's take a break. We'll be back in a few minutes.
This concludes CD 2, and you are now ready for CD 3, titled Getting Started Right. Thank you for listening to Eric Worre's Go Pro, How to Become a Network Marketing Professional audio album. For more business building resources, visit networkmarketingpro.com. This audio recording is copyright protected through U.S. and international laws. No portion may be reproduced, duplicated, or distributed in any form. Thank you.